football on off the ball.
Toby, I'm just a little bit standoffish, to be honest, and I just said that to the lads in the dressing room. We're getting too much respect. And for me, on a football pitch, when you give teams too much respect, it's a fear. Yeah, didn't like it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Rugby Daily
with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
You're welcome along to Wednesday's Rugby Daily. I'm Cameron Hill. Coming up for you today, the latest from both camps as the Lions in Australia gear up for Saturday's final test in Sydney. Matt Williams and Will Genia offered their views on whether the global rugby community should be doing more to help the Australian game. And Aoife Wafer is in a race to be fit in time for next month's Rugby World Cup. We'll hear the latest from the Ireland camp. First up, after missing the second test, Joe McCarthy and Mack Hansen are both in contention for the Lions' final test against Australia in Sydney this Saturday. The Ireland duo missed last weekend's game in Melbourne as they recovered from respective calf issues. Scotland centre Sione Tuipulotu is also available for the game at Stadium Australia, but Gary Ringrose has been ruled out of the final game of the tour as he continues return to play protocols following a concussion. The Leinster star had been named in the starting side for the second test, but withdrew from the team after telling head coach Andy Farrell he didn't feel right during training. It means that Ringrose is leaving Australia without making a test appearance, having missed the first test through injury as well. Assistant coach Andrew Goodman has insisted that the Lions will put out the best team available for the final test against the Wallabies, and hooker Dan Sheehan says the squad are preparing for a strong Australian response after the Lions won at the death to clinch. After the Lions won at the death to clinch the series in Melbourne last weekend.
We have to get over the excitement of what has just gone on there. So, you know, we've had a few meetings where we need to be open and honest that it wasn't good enough in the first half. And you know, I think lads have done a good job at sort of owning up to that and making sure that we put plans in place to make that right now to as Pollock said, 3-0. And I know he got a bit of heat of it, but it was obviously the goal of the whole tour is to make sure we did come away with a 3-0 win. So, you know, I think lads have turned the page well, and you know, I think we're all looking forward to another big game in Sydney, and you know, you can already see the excitement around the city with the fans sort of rolling in, and obviously there's a big sort of Irish and British contingent out here already. So I think the lads are going to be up for it and excited for the weekend.
Now, Sheehan scored the first try for the tourists in that 29-26 win last weekend, and James Tracy believes he's well on his way to becoming an all-time great. The former Leinster and Ireland hooker joined Ger Gilroy and Cullen Buhig on Tuesday's Off the Ball Breakfast.
I think he is now reaching the level where he's heading into kind of Keith Wood territory of being known generationally as a great player, not just a current great. His statistics are off the charts, whether it be his throwing statistics or his try scoring statistics, his speed. He's just a different animal. And I think if he can stay in and around the level he's at now for you know, another 4, 5, 6 years, he's put himself in that sort of category, and that's probably the highest compliment I could give him.
And don't forget, you can catch Off the Ball Breakfast live every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app or in glorious Technicolor over on our YouTube channel. On the Wallabies front then, head coach Joe Schmidt is set to make a number of changes for the third test in Sydney. Now, three of those are going to be injury enforced, so star loose forward Rob Valentini, prop Alan Alatoa and winger Harry Potter have all been ruled out after picking up injuries in the second test. According to The Roar, Tom Hooper is expected to come in for Valentini, while Taniela Tupu has been flagged as Schmidt's replacement for Alatoa. The Racing 92-bound tighthead lined out for the First Nations and Pacifica 15 last week, where he caused some serious problems for the Lions scrum. Potter then will reportedly be replaced by Western Forces' Dylan Peach. But the surprise selection comes at scrum half, with Nick White apparently coming in to start ahead of Jake Gordon. Despite the last-minute nature of that defeat at the MCG, Wallabies second row Nick Frost says the side are really excited for the final game of the tour.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, definitely. You know, there's a massive game. Any game you play, especially for your country, but any test match is big to get up for. So we're really looking forward to the weekend. You know, there's a bit of fire in the belly from the last couple of games. And you know, you're playing in Sydney, for a lot of the boys at hometown, you're playing for your nation, playing for your family first and foremost too. So, and again, like a Lions series, it's our last time, unless you're James Slipper, you know, to play against them. So it's a really cool experience for a lot of boys who ever get a pull on that jersey. So yeah, everyone's really keen.
Former Waratahs head coach Matt Williams joined Owen Shehan on Monday Night Rugby this week, and he claims that the Australian public have been angered by what they feel has been disrespectful behaviour from the Lions and the touring media. In particular, Williams says the notion that the Lions could explore alternatives to Australia as a future tour destination has not been taken well there.
I find that, how do I say this without sounding an aggressive and angry person? I find it so that the disrespect Australia's been shown by all the talk. Why do we ever come back here again? What are we doing here? And mate, that really, I've got to say, it's got up everyone's nose here. It is really so disrespectful that your visitors come to your country, we provide everything for you, you're making 10 fortunes that you don't make in South Africa and New Zealand, and all you do is whinge and bitch about us. And then when we come out in the second test and play unbelievably well, and you win in the last second on a great try and a wonderful game, a fantastic game, people say, oh, we don't know if we'll come back. You know, really? Is that what you're going to do? Well, good luck, you know, because I can tell you they'll come back, and I can tell you why they'll come back. Because the Lions' number one is about making money, and it makes money for the home unions, and Australia makes more money than any other tour. That's the reason they'll come back. People come here and said, you guys are simply not good enough. You're not in our league. What are we doing here? Jeez, it's been really hard to take, mate, I can tell you. And what you saw from the Wallabies last week was a response to that. And I mean, it's going to be hard for them this week. They're so heartbroken. But I hope they can come to the Olympic Stadium in Sydney and put in another really positive performance, because it does need that. And it does need the people who support the Lions, the four countries to support the Lions, to take a breath, stop your arrogance, stop telling us how crap we are, and start saying, could you help the game here? Could you help us keep the game alive?
Wallabies legend Will Genya joined this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, and he feels it's up to Australia alone to help themselves if they want to return to rugby's top table. The Test Centurion also feels more performances like last weekend's is exactly what's needed to reinvigorate the Australian rugby public.
I'd say what it does is it just... That's a hard thing to measure in the immediate, you know what I mean, to say that would increase participation. I think that's a slow burn for us, you know, and more around consistency performance. Because, again, if you're seeing your national team perform consistently and then eventually building to winning trophies and winning competitions, that is what eventually will increase participation, because everyone wants to get behind a winner. And we in Australia, we love winners. I'd say what it'll do is it'll maintain the enthusiasm for the game if we can get a win and play well, and give us a lot of energy moving into the Rugby Championship. Because say we win, we win well, you know, we carry that momentum from the second test where we played well, we win the third test, there's an excitement and a buzz where everyone's going to say, oh, we're building nicely. This could be the year that we win the Bledisloe. That's sort of what it then moves into. And then if we can, again, be consistent in our performances, it maintains interest, maintains engagement in the game. And ultimately, if we can keep being consistent and start to win, that's what I think will increase participation. And it comes back to what I was saying earlier in response to the interview that you showed me. We've got to help ourselves. You know, winning, but being consistent in how we perform and turn up, and eventually, hopefully, that leads to wins. That's how we help ourselves. That's how we increase participation and engagement and enthusiasm in the game. No one's going to help us. If you go to the All Blacks and say to them, oh, look, if you let the Wallabies win the Bledisloe, it's going to really help the game and the country and the game globally, mate, they'll tell you to get lost. They'll be like, we don't want them to win it ever. So we've got to help ourselves.
And if you want to hear all of our rugby coverage on demand, why not become a member at offtheball.com/join. Finally today, Ireland are stepping up their preparations for next month's Women's Rugby World Cup in England. Scott Beaman's side play the first of two warm-up games this Saturday when they take on Scotland at Virgin Media Park in Cork. Erin King and Dorothy Wall are both ruled out for the tournament, while key forward Aoife Wafer is in a race to be fit as she recovers from a knee injury picked up in this year's Six Nations. Ireland opened their World Cup campaign against Japan on the 24th of August before a game against Spain a week later. And while Wafer has been ruled out of the warm-up games against Scotland and Canada in Belfast next week, scrum coach Dennis Fogarty says they're quite confident that she will play a part in the campaign.
She's got a procedure done, so she's definitely not ruled out of the World Cup yet, but we're taking it week by week in terms of when her return to play is, but she's not ruled out of the World Cup anyway. There's no doubt about it, losing key players like that has been difficult, but look, that's the nature of the game and of sport. We've had obviously Sam coming back in, which is a big addition for us. And there's been other girls coming through that have really impressed us throughout the camp as well. But you know, like I said, with injuries like that, they're always going to come. They're not ideal going into a World Cup, but it's something we have to deal and probably adapt with as well, and that's what we've done over the last couple of weeks.
That'll about do it for today's Rugby Daily. Remember, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your fix so you don't miss an episode Monday to Friday. I'm Cameron Hill, and I'll be back with more Rugby Daily later this week.
Off the Balls, Rugby Daily with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.